Welcome to Product Brand Management, Chapter 18. In this chapter, we will talk about what is called the anti-branding movement. The objective of this chapter is to understand the concept and thought behind anti-brand thinking. This is based on Naomi Klein's renowned book, No Logo, Taking Aim at the Brand Bullies. Now let's understand this concept of anti-branding in detail. What if it is proposed that all over the world there should be no brands at all? And what if it is proposed that brands are actually disadvantages? What if there are absolutely no logos? So these were the thoughts that were running through the head of Naomi Klein, who's a Canadian author, and she's a very strong critic of corporate globalization, and she proposes that many disadvantages are brought about by just having brands as a part of human civilization. So as a result of being a critic of corporate globalization and brands in general, Naomi actually wrote a book called No Logo, Taking Aim at the Brand Bullies. Now this book actually is a Bible for anti-corporate and anti-globalization activism. Multinational corporations have actually grown so enormously, according to the book, according to this theory, multinational corporations have grown so enormously that they've actually superseded governments and have become the ruling political bosses of our era. Now you have to understand that we need to take this theory with a pinch of salt. We are brand management people, you're going to be brand management professionals. Now, not all brand management is evil. Having said that, everyone is entitled to an opinion, and it is important to understand the opinion of the other side of the coin as well. So if the other side of the table is saying brands are disadvantages and there should be no logos and no brands at all in the world, it is our duty to at least understand why they are saying so. And if they are saying so, is there any merit in it? And we, of course, once we understand if there's any merit to the argument, it is up to an individual to follow or not follow the certain theory. But our aim in this chapter actually is just to sensitize you to the fact that there is such a theory that exists, and it has a certain amount of following. There are a certain number of people who actually swear by this theory, who actually think Naomi Klein is an activist for the larger public good. So obviously I will leave it up to your judgment to believe or not believe in this theory. My job here is to actually tell you what the theory is about. So multinational corporations have grown so enormously that they have actually superseded governments. Like I said, it's a theory. She feels that MNCs have become so powerful, all the business in countries, in a lot of countries all over the world, has become all about the money. Where does the money come from? The money actually resides in the pockets of the big MNCs. Now these big MNCs, according to Naomi, actually supersede the government, and they become the ruling political bosses of our era, according to her, in a way in which they can actually lobby for whatever they want from the government to happen. So for example, if they want a policy changed, they have enough money to be able to lobby the government to change a policy itself or change a law, and these laws may then be beneficial to them to be able to make additional profits. So multinational corporations are actually only accountable to their shareholders. They're not really accountable to the public in general. This is where the thinking really emanates from, that a government, in a democratic republic government, actually is answerable to all components of society. People who elected them, people who didn't elect them. The whole country that is ruled by the government is actually an equal stakeholder in governance. MNCs, on the other hand, or corporations in general, are only accountable to their stakeholders. They are not accountable to people in general. There are no mechanisms or processes in place to enable them to put people before profits. As a result, corporate rule has assaulted the social pillars of civic space, civic liberties, and employment. So, according to Naomi, space, liberties, and employment have actually been assaulted, as the three social pillars of society have been assaulted by the big multinational corporation. The book itself is divided into four main parts. The first three parts try and address the assault on the three social pillars, And the fourth part is basically the concluding part. It concludes on how more activism is actually emerging in this field of speaking up against brands and against logos and against big MNCs. Now let's look at what these parts of the book are. The first part of the book is No Space. So the book starts with No Space. What it does is it examines the corporate assault on civic space, the surrender of culture and education to marketing. So what Naomi is trying to say here is, for example, if there is an open space which belongs to the government or belongs to the public, supposing it's an open park, that open area is available to children of the neighborhood to play. But if a company, if a large company with very deep pockets wants to come and set up an office there or a factory there or a manufacturing plant there, they can. They'll probably just lobby the government, ensure that they're able to acquire that land and set up their premises over there. And in the meantime, they'll actually eat up space that was meant for regular people. The second part of the book is No Choice. This talks about the corporate assault on civil liberties, which happens because of predatory franchising and mergers that have reduced cultural choice. What she means to say here is, in general, a consumer has a certain number of choices in the market. I can buy 20 brands of milk, 30 brands of curd, 25 brands of shoes, 100 brands of shirts. I can buy all of these things. But according to her, the corporate assault on civil liberties is such that because of larger mergers, larger acquisitions, there could be actually one or two companies controlling all the choices and especially the essential goods that people have. So if I go out to the market and instead of 20 brands of milk, I'm only able to see 2 brands of milk. Or even if I see 20 brands of milk, they're all controlled by only 2 big companies. Then whatever I buy, I'm actually filling the coffers of those 2 companies. And I don't have a choice to go against it because this is an essential good. So according to Naomi Klein, she classifies an assault such as this as no choice. The third assault, she says, is no jobs. This stresses on employment and how multinationals are actually liberating themselves from the burden of having employees. Now, this especially is a worldwide concern. This happens because a company, a large company, is concerned with its balance sheet, with its top lines and bottom lines, and it's concerned with its cash flow. And if there are a number of employees and if a certain year or 2 years haven't been good for the company's balance sheet, then the company really doesn't think twice before laying off 100 people or 1,000 people. According to Naomi, this is not a very pleasant situation for anyone, of course, but according to her, this is actually a corporate assault on employment. So according to her, people are being used as robots. You hire somebody, you make them work, and then no matter how well they work, if they're not fitting into your purview of how much money you want to spend on people, you can get them out. The next one is called No Logo. This is the last part of the book. So according to this, this actually documents the activism that is emerging in response to this supposed rule by the corporates. The fact that according to her, according to the theory, the corporates are actually ruling the government. They're actually superseding the government. So after these three parts, the fourth part is actually talking about, so what is the emerging activism in the area? And should there be absolutely no logos? According to her, there shouldn't be any logos. Now, like I said, it's a theory. People have their own opinions and you have to judge it on your own, on the merit of this theory, not on the basis that somebody has said something, but you should actually look around, gather more information, and then see whether or not you think this is a good way to think about brands and logos. There was an interview by Naomi Klein in which a few poignant questions came up. What is a brand versus a product, she says. So I have products for public use. They could be essential goods, they could be inessential goods, they could be luxury goods, they could be services. What is the role of a brand, she says. why have brands at all? Why can't I just have products? Now, did brands come to the rescue, filling a need for community or meaning in the society? That's another question she asks, that we have products. The products are actually going ahead and fulfilling the need of people, the needs of people. Now, if that is the case, then did the brands that have been put on the products, did they really come to the rescue of society as a whole? Did they fill some need for community? Do brands do anything for democracy? So, if brands don't do anything for democracy, are they really important for us? Then companies and their epiphanies, how companies have, over a period of time, they just change their ways of thinking and they say, okay, this is a new vision that we have, or this is a new epiphany that we've had, basis which we've changed our policy, or we've increased the product cost, or we've laid off 200 people. Now, how has marketing also moved away from traditional outlets like the 30-second television ad? So her point in this is, if marketing is moving away from the regular ad, a lot of times the kind of marketing that bombards us as consumers doesn't really stand out as marketing per se. So it doesn't really stand out as advertising. We are bombarded in so many ways that we take advertising for fact a lot of times. It is so well integrated in content, in sponsorships, etc., that when we sit down, when we are exposed to any sort of medium, we actually bombarded by so many marketing messages that it's if it were a 30-second television ad, maybe we could ignore it. But if you're bombarded from 100 different directions by 100 different messages, we can't ignore it. And is that really voluntary? Then she says, what are we producing? How do they maintain such tight control over their brand image? This is obviously a bit of a conspiracy theory here, that maintaining such a tight control over their brand image actually involves doing stuff which is not good for the society. The next point that comes up is, what, if anyone, is trying to resist this global marketing? Is there any sort of resistance to the kind of global marketing that we see these days? People are being bombarded with lots of marketing messages. People are being misled into believing that certain products and services are really essential to their lifestyle when they aren't. People are being led to lead certain lifestyles which they can't even afford. So that there are people who take personal loans and get into credit card debts because advertising has sort of ingrained in them that they need certain things which they maybe don't for survival. Is there any pocket of revolt against this concept of branding and the global marketing corporations? How has this branding actually moved into politics? Now, this is from two points of view. One is the branding of politics, and one is the use of branding within politics. So, the branding in politics would be, how has the global marketing corporation, the big MNC, actually affected politics of different countries? And the second part is, how have politicians themselves started using brand management in their political discourses? Are Madison Avenue strategists actually migrating into our government? Is the government actually using these branding strategies or advertising strategies in furthering their own discourse, in actually leading people to believe certain things about the government itself or about different political parties? What are some of the listening tools that are being used to track consumer behavior and choices? Are there any specific tools that these companies use to track consumer behavior and choices? And if yes, what are those tools? Are these tools actually available for scrutiny to the public or to some sort of authority? Or are they just being used completely blatantly? So this is the kind of theory that Naomi Klein has come up with. We'll look at the summary of this chapter. So Naomi Klein's No Logo, Taking Aim at the Brand Bullies is the book. It talks about anti-corporate activism and anti-globalization activism. Multinational corporations, she says, are only accountable to their own stakeholders, which is not a great situation for the rest of the country, because if they are the ones that are influencing the government so much, then they should be accountable to a larger public, but they are not. And there are no mechanisms or processes in place to actually enable them to put people before profits. Next is she divides the book into four parts. The first three parts of No Space, No Choice, and No Jobs actually address the assault on these three social pillars. And the fourth part, the concluding part of No Logo, actually concludes and says, talks about emerging activism in this area. So before I wrap up this chapter, I'd just like to say that again, this is a certain theory by a certain person. As brand management professionals, as educated people, it is our duty to actually look up information on both sides of the argument and actually see if whether or not there's any merit on it. The worst thing to do would be to actually just blindly believe any one theory. So just to blindly believe that branding is good or to blindly believe that branding is bad is just not is not a pleasant circumstance. So that's it for this chapter. Thank you.